pacing my shed while I listen to the trundling of my drobo, my normally off-site backup, which has nervously been brought into the house due to decorating and a lot of plaster dust in the area where my drobo normally sits. I'll probably have to pop it back up in a cupboard or something later on, because I don't like having all my data in the same space for obvious reasons. But I'm backing up 13 gigabytes of video photos and audio captured at the camp, the migrant stroke refugee camp in Calais earlier on this week. And it's been a good few days of dipping in and out and getting the photos edited and going through the audio and looking at the video and realizing that, you know, the few hours I was there, I probably could have, if I was just hoovering up content, gathered more than 13 gig, but I was trying to be selective. I asked a lot of people if they would speak to me, and just popping in like that is not long enough for you to build the relationships needed to be able to gain somebody's trust so that you can lift a camera and not have them saying, no, please, no photographs, or no, I don't want to do a video interview. I'd say maybe 1 in 5 people were up for having their photograph taken after you asked, and maybe 1 in 10 would be okay about you doing a video interview with them. This is once you've had a conversation. I'm not just talking about random snaps in the street. And so on reflection, when I do it all again, I will most likely focus on audio and stills and create a photo slideshow at the end of it, because I did notice I can get an awful lot more sentiment and context in audio due to the person being relaxed and happy to talk than in video, when everybody is concerned about, you know, who's going to be seeing this. They might be in fear of their lives for a reason, or, you know, they might be shifty characters. There are definitely some shifty characters in the camps around the world who are escaping maybe past heinous crimes. The majority, most of, nearly all, I imagine, are escaping a lot of the horrors of the particular countries that they are fleeing. But the more I was digging deeper towards the end of the day, the more you realise that there's a lot of people very scared, particularly vulnerable women surrounded by some potentially violent men, some definitely violent men, and some obviously helpful human beings as well. But it's not a nice place to be in, especially when there is in the kind of the darker side of humanity has affected a lot of these people, and they're already suffering post-traumatic stress. So it's I shared the insight I could gather in the short space of time I was there. But workflow really is key to bring it down to a horrible tech level. I had the Panasonic GH4, which meant I could take pretty okay photos, and in my opinion, the video quality is great from that, despite the massive file sizes, which is a pain in the bum. And I kind of wish I'd taken my Zoom H5, even though I had to travel really light and didn't have space for that, and my Rode shotgun mic. Plus, you would have looked an awful lot more scary than being able to bring the Zoom H1 out of your pocket. And I did just have the Zoom H1 with a pair of Shure earbuds, mainly because I wanted to have a conversation with somebody before I brought out the technology. And it is a little bit harder with a camera like the GH4, but I did take off the bulky battery pack at the bottom and made it look a lot less serious. Granted, the amazing Rode micro, what's it called? I can't even remember what it's called. Anyway, the Rode micro clip-on mic on the top, it was phenomenal. I only use that, and it just great audio in some really noisy environments, so super impressed with that. Yes, I've again for over a week now. I've had the iPhone 6S sat on my desk waiting for me to back up my phone I'm talking into now, so that I could get that into gear. It might be that I realise that non-moving video and my stills can be happily taken just on that and only on that. And then, I'm free to take a better audio recorder, potentially. I mean, I have worked like that in the past. I knew that I was going to be potentially offline. There was definitely an issue with the phone connecting to masts in the area. And so I thought, well, I'll take a proper camera because I can get some much higher quality video. And there's no need, even though it's a networked lens and I could send some stuff over when I managed to reconnect my phone to the phone, the working with the mobile phone just, you know, wasn't necessary. Took 4 minutes for me to use the Thunderbolt port and send the 13 gig into the Drobo, and now I've got the painful process of backing up my copy, because that copy to the Drobo is literally just a copy of what's on my hard drive, and now I need to technically back up that with another copy to DVDs, and they take ages to burn. So what's that? Is that 4 DVDs? Nightmare. No, 3 DVDs I can get them on, so I think that's right. But it's got to be done. And then they'll sit elsewhere, definitely off-site. Just in case I want to revisit any of these images or conversations. So that's my current shenanigans. If you have visited documentally.com and seen some of the audio, video, photos, texts, the captured from my visit to Calais, you'll realise that I failed to connect with David Charles, who is DC is busy on Twitter, who basically initially was the person that said, hey, we're going to be delivering some bikes with Bikes Beyond Borders. The hashtag was Bikes to Calais. They'd already been in and delivered a bunch of bikes, and did you want to come along? And I was like, yes, please. And then when they broke down, I was like, oh, bugger. Well, I can go home or I can continue. And thankfully, I decided to continue. And I'm glad, very glad that I did. I was to and fro over, you know, I wanted to enable these people in some way. I didn't necessarily have aid in my mind, but I wanted to go in and say, hey, here's some cool stuff that's going to help you get around, and you can go, you know, maybe even find work and sort your papers out and go to the town and find food and all this kind of stuff. These bikes really, it was going to be interesting to document the guys taking them in, so that maybe other people could think of innovative ways to enable. But going in empty-handed had me questioning my motives of, do I just want to go and grab stories, and will it be exploitative? And I came to the conclusion when I was there, especially because nobody asked for anything from me, and I felt that I was dealing with some proud and, in some cases, positive human beings who were doing whatever they could to get themselves out of a situation. A lot of that camp was built with the bare hands of migrants and refugees, with, of course, the assistance of friendly, helpful locals, and everybody was muscling in. And I could never think of the word that ties this together very nicely until I read a blog post by David Charles, which talks very much about solidarity. And I don't think you can have solidarity unless there is an empathy there, and being able to, you know, a lot of what's been going on was completely beyond my comprehension. And in many ways, I think, thankfully, because there's, you know, the horrors of humanity. And I have seen some pretty horrible things that I'm pretty sure my mind has pushed into its far-reaching corners. Things from Zaire, when the Hutus and the Tutsis were killing themselves, I was working in that area, and I was in Yugoslavia when the war was on, obviously not Yugoslavia anymore. And then after that, yeah, Iraq, Jordan, Syria, it's people at their very lowest and some people at their very meanest. And I didn't kind of want to drop into someone's misery, you know, snapping away. And yet, in many ways, that's what I did. But I was accepted by most as someone that I, you know, could freely communicate with them and them with me, and there was definitely a connection there, and I felt better about that. And this discussion on should we give people aid so they just sit there all helpless and weak with their hands out, or should we enable and assist people to make their own lives better, and a bicycle is a fantastic tool to be able to do that, of course. The two girls I mentioned, Ida and Jenna, who were the first refugees I saw looking to seek asylum in the UK, who didn't want to appear on camera or video. I've thought about them a lot, actually. I don't know whether or not they made it through, but I did see a snippet of a video clip on a French TV channel, and I swear Ida was there, and it was taken a month or so ago, where she was going out on her daily expedition to try and get on a ferry or a lorry, and she was exactly as high-spirited and determined on the day I saw her than what it appears this video clip had her look like over, you know, almost a month ago, I think it was. So I've got so much respect for these people, and I think that's exactly what's needed. We need to respect these people because we understand very little of what they have been through, and we have in many ways no idea how we would behave or act in these situations. So I'm looking forward to catching up again with David Charles in the Elevate Festival next week. Elevate.at, Elevate Festival on Twitter. All the political discourse side of things, the talks and the films and the videos, it's all free. If you can get over to Graz in Austria, it's free. It's cheap to fly to. You can go pretty close and local. And if you are, you know, flying in, there's the occasional shuttle buses that Elevate put on for certain speakers. And I'm sure that if they have a spare seat, they'll let you hitchhike back to Graz from either, is it Slovenia, Slovakia? And Austria itself, there's airports all around the place. Or train if you don't do planes, which I know some people don't. And I'm looking forward to a festival that I've attended now on a number of occasions for lots of reasons. Not just because Austria is great, because the people there are incredible. Really doing some fantastic things. The theme this year is all about creative response, and we all have our own types of creative response to issues and instances that demand it in the world around us. And I'll be interested in capturing conversations and maybe mostly audio and photos and maybe a little bit of video snippets. From there, I'll be taking my mobile only for that, and hopefully a newer mobile if I can get my ass in gear and migrate all my stuff over. It's all the encryption keys and things on certain apps, which is I find a bit of a pain in the ass. Migrating all that over effectively is hard. Well, it's not hard. It's just a chore when I've got other work to do. So speaking of work to do, tomorrow I'm knuckling down and getting a workshop video for the web. Not video for the web, it's called something else now, but it's kind of a much more updated version of how to do mobile video production on the fly, but also using a laptop. So should you need anything like that, I'm available for training, talking, teaching, whatever you need. And Friday I'm going to be hopefully documenting one of the last company doing this type of glass blowing that I'm going to see. Sound a bit weird? well, just so happened to be decorating and not wanting to decorate for a very long time. We wanted a really nice light in the living room, and so we saw this company in Hartford who does just beautiful hand blown glass lamps with slightly frilly bits. So I'm going to pick up hopefully one of them, but watch it made and document it being made at the same time. Interesting. I know nothing about glass blowing. Hopefully on Friday I'll be slightly more clued up. I hope you're good. I've heard a lot of people in the audio community giving hat tips and heads up to the others that they connect with. You've got your Top Goals in Ireland. I've been following closely his meanderings and musings. And Ian Cath, it's great to hear Ian Cath back documenting what he's up to on the other side of the planet. And yeah, if you're out there and sharing insight, and I'm not connected to you, I migrated to Overcast. Should really look at my phone. Anyway, I lost a lot of feeds when I stopped using the iTunes app. I did thin out an awful lot of feeds that hadn't been updated for a while. And if you're back out there and doing stuff, and I'm missing it, you might have mentioned me and I not said, hey, thanks for the mention. Let me know. And I can reconnect. I was just about to say, the great thing about using apps without any editing and uploading is you can throw up your bite-sized chunks and listen to, you know, sub-5-minute audio, sub-10-minute audio, and it's easy to fit into the day. And here I am. What am I on? 18 minutes? 19 minutes? I'm not really following that principle. This is more of a meal, isn't it, than a bite-sized chunk. I'll keep it less than 20 and bid you all the very best. Good luck in what you're doing at the moment. And yeah, go for a run or a brisk walk. Honestly, it's changed my life. Hopefully for the better. Hope that's not my last words when I die of some huge coronary for pushing it too hard like I did today. but so far, so good. Better to die trying.